prayer, and then we're going to get into the Word this morning. Dear Father, just want to pray that You would speak to us through Your Word today. And Lord, thank You for the way we've been able to take our time in going through the book of Mark and just glean from every passage, Lord. And I pray that You would speak to us today as we read about blind Bartimaeus, how he cried out to Jesus, how You heard his cries. And Lord, You hear our cries. And I pray that we can learn from this wonderful account of how You healed this blind beggar. Lord, I think there's a lot more comparisons to us than what we may realize sometimes. So I pray that You'll teach us today in Jesus' name. Amen. Y'all can open up your Bibles to Mark chapter 10. We're still in Mark chapter 10. What a wonderful passage. When we look at this passage, I've heard it spoken of many different times. Does anybody know how many different blind people were featured as Jesus having healed them in the Gospels? I mean, He healed everybody that was brought to Him, right? He had, and it talks about that in different places. But how about the blind people specifically? Do y'all remember? There were like three different accounts where He literally had a blind person in His presence and He healed their blindness. And in fact, whenever John the Baptist was a little confused because he was in prison and he was thinking, I was pointing in Jesus and I thought this was had to be the one. And then he finds himself in very unusual circumstances that he would not have thought were how it was going to end up. You know, none of us really think we're going to end up in prison, you know, for the faith or anything. He asked his disciples to go see Jesus and ask, are you truly the one? And he gave them some evidence to take back. And it was Old Testament scriptures from Isaiah. And he said, tell them the blind see and the lame walk. It's an important evidence. So the blind, Jesus can heal blindness. And in these accounts, you know, we could take from this account of blind Bartimaeus here in Mark chapter 10. A lot of times people take this and they want to try to find out, how do you heal a blind person? Well, we could look at this account and say, well, this is one way that Jesus went. You know what's interesting about the way that He healed all three blind people? He used a different method on each one of three. He didn't heal all three of them exactly the same way. Yeah, He actually used His spit. His saliva, we read about another one in Mark earlier, and he rubbed it in the dirt. And he made like mud out of it, and he put it on a guy's eyes like a poultice, which is really interesting because He's the one that created us from the dust of the earth, amen? And so He knows what we're made of. Isn't that interesting how He Himself is so intimately involved in His creation? Well, in this particular account, more than just looking at how He heals blindness, we accept that He can heal the blind. Do I get an amen to that? Let's think about the fact that there's a correlation between physical blindness and spiritual blindness. He heals spiritual blindness. And so we want to remember that as we go through this wonderful account in Mark chapter 10, verses 46 through 52. So, Mark chapter 10, verses 46 through 52. So, we'll go ahead and read. Let's go ahead and stand for reading of God's Word today, if you're able to. If you're holding a baby and she's sleeping, you don't have to. Now, they came to Jericho. As they went out of Jericho with His disciples and a great multitude, blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the road begging. And when he had heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. Then many warned him to be quiet, but he cried out all the more, Son of David, have mercy on me. So Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called. Then they called the blind man, saying to him, be of good cheer, rise, he is calling you. And throwing aside his garment, he rose and came to Jesus. So Jesus answered and said to him, what do you want me to do for you? The blind man said to him, Rabbi, that I may receive my sight. Then Jesus said to him, go your way. your faith has made you well. And immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus on the road. Let us pray again. Dear Father, as we look at this wonderful account, I pray you would teach us how to apply it to our lives as well. In Jesus' name, amen. Y'all can have a seat. But as we see that, and we take a look at these verses, and we learn about crying out to Jesus. If you guys want to go ahead and bring up the slides, you can kind of follow along on the sheet or follow along in the slides. And sometimes we can't see Jesus because we are blind. Have you ever thought about that? You know, I remember before I became a Christian. Can you guys remember your B.C. days, so to speak, before Christ days? Some people got saved at such a young age that maybe they don't have a lot of recollection, and I understand that, and that's fine. But for me, I got saved a little further along the way. I was almost 30 by the time I came to Christ, and I remember what it was like for me to try to understand spiritual things. It was as though I was blind. I would read the Bible and it didn't make any sense. It was hard for me to understand. It was hard for me to perceive. It was hard for me to see. And I was like that blind man sitting along the road and just begging, wanting to see, wanting to understand. But here's the thing. It finally came to the point that I realized Jesus was the way for my sight to be cured. And something I see here, we've got this son of Timaeus. That's where you get Bar. Bar means son of Timaeus, sitting on the side of the road. And you know, for him, he couldn't do for himself. I want you to know, you can't save yourself. You can't make yourself see. It don't matter how frustrated you may get. If you can't see, if you can't perceive, there's only one answer, and it's to call out to Jesus. He's your only hope. And if we're having a hard time seeing him, we may have some blindness and we may need to ask Jesus to help us. When we cry out to him, we want to recognize who he is. And that's something we could see about blind Bartimaeus. When he heard it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, "Jesus, Son of David." What's that Son of David stuff mean? It means Christ. Christ means Messiah. He's saying, "Messiah, the promised one, the anointed one, come. You're the one who can help me." I want us to know Jesus is the only one who can cure this blindness that keeps us from being able to see him clearly. You know, one of the blind men that Jesus healed, he healed him in stages. And the one that we were talking about earlier, whenever he first gave him the first treatment, so to speak, the man could only see some kind of blurry images. He thought they looked like, maybe the men looked like trees or something like that. He was trying to imagine exactly what he was seeing. You know, I think that's important for us to recognize some too. Sometimes learning to see as Jesus heals us in our spiritual sight is a process. Don't stop crying out to Jesus. As you're going through the process, he's still our only hope to be able to clearly see. You see, Jesus has what we need, so you keep crying out until he answers. That's something else I learned from this story that as I prepared for this, I was just sitting back there at my desk, and man, I'm telling you, I was celebrating whenever I saw this example. When he heard it was Jesus, he began to cry out saying, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." And you know what? Sometimes when you're crying out, there's going to be some others around you telling you to be quiet. You see, then many, did you see that word? Many, not just one, but many warned him to be quiet. But you know what Bartimaeus did? He cried out all the more. Say amen. He cried out all the more. Praise the Lord. Because he knew Jesus had what he needed. And only Jesus has what we truly need. So I don't care what everybody, if everyone else around you says that you're stupid for crying out, tells you to be quiet, you tell them, "I know who has what I need." And you keep crying out to Jesus, Messiah, Jesus the Christ. asking Him to have mercy on us. Guys, that's what we truly need is God's mercy. Do I get an amen to that? You cry out to Jesus because of who He is. And as we see there in verse 48 as well, Son of David. Son of David. You know, that's the thing, guys. Christ isn't His last name. You know, we're big on names that have a first name, last name, and all that stuff. And we think, Jesus Christ, that must be His last name. Christ is who He is. He is Messiah. He is the one and only Messiah, anointed one, King forever and ever and ever. You see, many will try to discourage you, but Jesus hears your cry for mercy, guys. I want you to know Jesus is hearing. Even when others were trying to hush that man, trying to tell him, you stop being so loud, you just need to be quiet, he continued to cry out. And you know what? Verse 49, so Jesus stood still. He heard him, and he commanded him to be called. And then they called the blind man, saying, be of good cheer, rise, he is calling you. Jesus hears your cries. And here's something else we learned from Bartimaeus in verse 50, and I love this part. You see, once Jesus called him, did you notice? He threw everything aside to go to him. Guys, I'm just going to tell you, whenever it says throwing aside his garment, there was nothing that meant more to a beggar than his clothing. There was nothing that meant more to that beggar than the very things that would keep him warm at night when he had nothing else. I can tell you, in their ancient culture, we take clothes for granted because we can go find them on the clearance rack at Walmart for about a buck or two sometimes. And if we really want to go extravagant, you know, we can pay a little bit more, but we have access to clothing. I can tell you, in their day and age, clothing was one of the most precious articles they had. And whenever it says he threw aside his garment and he rose and came to Jesus, I want you to know there was a big crowd of people. And when he threw aside that garment, he was leaving everything behind to get to Jesus as fast as he could because he knew Jesus was worth everything. Guys, I'm going to ask you something. When Jesus called you, was there anything in your life that you were unwilling to give up? There may have been that one thing that you just had a hard time. I want you to know He's going to keep working on you until you're willing to give it up. I've had a lot of people tell me, you know, preacher, there's just that one thing. And I really struggle with that one thing. Well, then you keep working on that one thing. Don't think that somehow or another, because you refused and you resisted, that somehow or another Jesus just gave up on that and He's going to go ahead and let you keep that one thing that's above Him in your life. He said, and God Himself said back in the Ten Commandments, the very first commandment, you shall have no other gods before Me. And I want you to know that commandment still stands. It doesn't matter what it is. We need to be willing to set it aside to go to Jesus. Throw it aside. There's nothing that should keep us or hinder us from coming. Here's another thing we learned from Him. It's very interesting. We want to be specific concerning our needs. Did you notice? Whenever He went to Jesus, Jesus said, what do you want Me to do for you? You think Jesus didn't already know He was blind? Of course He did. Jesus knows us down to the very molecule of our atoms and everything about us. He created us. But He goes ahead and He asks, what do you want Me to do for you? Guys, our condition is no different than His. We need to be able to see. We need to be able to see. We need to be able to see the spiritual realities. Do you know that there's a whole other world that's going on that we can't see with our human eyes all the time? I'm asking God in 2021, after going through 2020, boy, I'd love to have 2020 vision. I wish I didn't have to wear these. You know what? Last year was a year, I think, of creating a new vision in us. That we need to be looking at the spiritual realities more than the physical realities. And you know what that blind man said to Jesus? He just went ahead and just spoke the obvious. He's standing there before Jesus, and he's blind, and he can't see, and he's a beggar, and he's got nothing going for him. He just threw the only thing he owned off to the side to get to Jesus. And he says, Rabbi, that I may receive my sight. Jesus knows what you need, but he wants you to ask. And he wants you to humble yourself and be specific. He already knows, but he wants us to be a part of that process by asking. And you know what? His grace is amazing. Do I get an amen to that? Amazing grace. I love that song, but it's even more when we think about the fact that his grace is amazing. I once was blind, but now I can see. Now I see. And you know what? You know why he allows you to see? So you can follow him. We learn another thing, another picture of salvation through this story. Then Jesus said to him, go your way, your faith has made you well. Guys, I'm going to tell you, Jesus didn't say, now that I cured your sight, now you have to follow me. That's the deal. He didn't say that at all. You know, Bartimaeus had a choice to make as soon as he received his sight. Let's see what choice he made. Immediately, he received his sight. And he followed Jesus on the road. Jesus said, go your way. You know, Jesus is the sustaining grace for every individual in the world. Even though the majority of people don't follow him, he still is the grace that keeps them alive. He's still what makes their heart beat. He's still what gives them breath. He's still what gives them the food that they eat. He's the one taking care of everybody, and he doesn't force anybody to follow him. But here's my charge to us today. He's given you some measure of sight. Now follow him. Do it voluntarily. Do it joyfully. Do it with all your heart, leaving everything else behind. We don't see he went back and found his garment either, do we? That precious thing to him. He had his sight. And you know what he wanted to do? Follow the one who gave it to him. And I'm just going to say, I think there was a lot of wisdom that we see there in blind Bartimaeus. Can you see? Has he given you your sight? Can you see things that you didn't see once before? Do I get an amen? I hope I can get an amen. I remember being saved, and the very next day I was like, I never saw life like this. It's so incredible. But you ever notice, if you don't keep following Jesus, it can diminish. It can become dim. It can become dingy again. You can become, you know, very discouraged. So here's my next question. If you can see, if he gave you some measure of sight, then the next question, are you following him? Following him means doing what he says. I get a lot of comments from people, well, you know, I mean, I'm a follower of Jesus. I just don't do what he says. Then if you ain't doing what he says, you're not following. Because you see, he isn't going to change for us. He doesn't allow us to hold a bunch of hate in our heart and unforgiveness and all this kind of stuff, bitterness. He wants you to follow him as he leads. And he spoke a parable to them in Luke chapter 6, verse 39. You see, if you're not following Jesus, you may end up finding out you're following other blind people. If you're following the world, did you realize the world's still blind? Secular world is still blind. They're trying to figure out the world without Jesus giving them their sight yet. And you know what? Jesus kind of spoke to that. Can the blind lead the blind? If you're following a blind person along the road, where do you think you're going to end up? They're both going to fall in the ditch. How many of you guys drive with your eyes closed? Praise the Lord. No hands went up. You know, if you call me and I'm driving and I offer to pray with you, I want you to know I'm praying with my eyes open, okay? Because if I'm driving, I know if I close my eyes for very long, I will end up, especially on these old curvy roads down here, in the ditch. There's a whole lot of people who would call themselves Christians, who attend church on Sunday, that are trying to follow the world. And I'm just saying, if you're doing things the way the world says rather than the way Jesus says, you're following blind people. You're going to end up in the ditch. If you've been given your sight by Jesus Christ, you follow him. You follow him wholeheartedly. You follow him. Here's another one I get. Well, preacher, I'm following Jesus, but I don't read the Bible.
Then how can you know what he wants you to do?
This is his instruction guide to us. You got to read it to find out. Let's read it every day. Let's get our marching orders. Let's get our directions. This is like a roadmap in life. Let's do it. Let's follow him. Let's do what he says. Let's see what happens, because what I know is he is right about everything. And he is relevant. I keep hearing that word in these days, you know. The church isn't relevant in these days. The church is as relevant in 2021 as it has ever been, even more so. And the Bible is still relevant for our day. Jesus is right about everything. Let's pray. Dear God, as we see in this wonderful account, blind Bartimaeus, you gave him his sight, and he used his sight for one thing and one thing alone, and it was to follow you. I pray that as you give us sight, that we will follow you. In Jesus' name, amen.